But if I have some sort of cash on me, I start to get anxious. That feeling before the dealer flipped the cards was some of the most magnifying feeling. People say that putting down a pill was way easier than stopping gambling.
Hey everybody, welcome back. My name's Rob, and today I have a very special guest. His name is Josh G, and he's going to be sharing his story with gambling harm, and I'm going to be touching on mine as well. Josh, how you doing today?
Rob, I'm doing great. I'm really glad we were able to connect and have this chat.
Josh, let's get right into it. What made you want to come out here today, and what's been going on?
My name is Josh G. I made my last bet September 18th, 2022, and I wanted to come on because I came across a lot of your TikToks and your different YouTube videos. I've always had the mindset that if I can help like one person, that I'm doing something good. And I really feel like there are so many people out there that are going through it with gambling that feel like there's nobody else that's like me. And that's just so far from the truth. I would say that's the main reason. And also just get involved more with this recovering compulsive gambling community. I think there's a lot of great people with a lot of wonderful perspective.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again so much for being here, man. Let's set the background here. When was the first time that you gambled? What was it that you on, and how were you when that happened?
Fantasy football is obviously gambling, but when things started to be like casino trips and stuff like that, that was more when I went away to college. You get that independence and you start hearing about friends who, at least for me, when I heard the word bookie, like I was so confused, wanting to make an account, all these things I was just so confused by. It definitely started there and was small, but over time it kept getting worse and worse and wanting more and more until I finally realized there's never that big win that's gonna solve everything.
So would you say that you started gambling like with friends, or was it kind of you grew up watching sports? Like where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm in the suburbs of Philadelphia and I'm still a diehard Philly sports fan. I was not a primary sports bettor. I did a little bit of it, but it never, to be honest with you, every sport, and I know people say this, but all of them were too slow for me. I needed something that was quick. Like I would do it on the side and then I'll be like, oh, I'll go back to that. Being at the tables and playing and the transfer of chips and everything, that's what I needed.
So you're from
Sure.
the Philly area,
Yeah.
and you found that rather than sports being your main driver for gambling, it was casino games. Was there a particular casino game that you felt drawn towards?
Absolutely was blackjack. And looking back, it is so stupid to think about. But the number of random side bets that I would win for literally no reason whatsoever, just like a random luck of the draw, that I would genuinely think like, oh, this could be another paycheck. This could be a side hustle, or like some people drive Uber for supplemental income. I could just gamble. That's obviously not the case. Blackjack for me, that was what it was. Not just from a money perspective, but a gigantic amount of my time. I'd play some of the other games, but I mean, it would be hours sometimes at a
Sure.
physical casino or on my phone.
Sure. I can relate to that of like thinking that even if it's not like a professional gambler, thinking that gambling was a way to generate like supplementary income. And I'm sure that a lot of people out there probably felt the same way. If you're watching this live or in the chat replay, let me know in the comments right now if you've ever thought that you would be a professional gambler. Because Josh, I don't think we're the only people that thought that, to be honest. What was the turning point for you that you recognized that the gambling had kind of progressed to a point that it got out of hand? And you even would consider getting help.
There were definitely like multiple times where I think I consciously knew it, but I just wanted to block it out of my brain and say, like, this is normal. People do this. It's not a big deal. I can think back to one trip that I had where, I had won a pretty significant amount of money and I had actually walked out and was like, okay, like, this is good. I was able to walk out. We don't do that, a lot of the time. That was on a Friday night, and by Monday, I lost all of what I won and more. And I think that was the first true one. You know, there's definitely some other examples for sure. I mean, another one that comes to mind, I've only been to Vegas once. I knew by then my life was already, it was going through it. The wheels were coming off. They just hadn't fallen off the car yet. And I was going to Vegas for some reason. Not some
Gotcha.
reason, it was a great friend's bachelor party. I mean, I won really quick and an incredible amount of money for me, and left that trip with nothing. Then I was like, I knew I needed the help, but it still took some time after that. I think it's interesting. Like, we all have multiple times where we're like, we know we need the help, but we don't want it, you know?
I went through that as well. I think that, you know, over the course of 6 years that I was making bets, I probably had like six or seven times where it was like such a devastating loss, and not by like amount, but like having it and then having it disappear right away. I think that was always what hit the worst. But I can definitely relate to that and pushing it off for years. How long do you think you were gambling from start to finish?
Yeah, I want to say 6 to 7 years like you. And also, again, it's really, especially with, like, you know, being in the rooms and even just with all of the different, you know, ads and everything, we really see the amount of money is different from person to person. But if you have that mentality and the emotion behind it, then you're a gambling addict. That was refreshing for me because I kept trying to convince myself, like, oh, I don't need help. Like, I haven't lost this. I haven't lost that. So to hear that, it like that was a big turning point for me.
So over the course of those years, you know, were there times where you tried to stop, or was it more or less just telling yourself that it's not a problem the whole time?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely tried to stop. And I will say, like, in college, it really was not, it got bad after college. Like, during college, I would go to the casino, you know, every once in a while. After college is when it really started to become a more routine thing and more routine of like, oh, I'm not doing anything. All right, I'll gamble. So, you know, now I just occupy my time with things. But I definitely did try to stop on my own. But I mean, you know, from personal experience and from talking to everybody, it's virtually impossible to stop on your own the way we're wired, if you will.
Sure. Before we get into the specifics of what you did to get yourself into a better place, I just want to
Sure.
remind the chat that if you're here and you're watching, to please leave a like on the video, as it'll help get more people in here, hopefully to ask more questions, which we can then answer. So, getting back into things, Josh, you're at the point now in your experience where you were considering getting help. What did you do to make your life better?
I can't give myself that credit, if that makes sense. So it was around the AFC Championship game. It was, yeah, January of 2022. I really did not want to face the music. I didn't want to stop. Things had just kept, like, my family had known and they were really getting on me, and I just wasn't listening. And it finally happened. What really clicked for me at one point was I had, and I still do have, an incredibly close group of friends who had set up an intervention for me. I had to listen to them and hear them out. And, you know, eventually I did go to GA. That's really what it took for the initial part of where I started my recovery. I can't take the credit for it.
Sure.
And it's taken a lot for me to be able to admit that, but it is 100% the truth. I would have never went to a meeting had it not been, you know, for my friends, my family. You know, I was doing it for them at first, and then, you know, now it's definitely been for me and been incredibly rewarding. I wish it was something I did on my own, but, you know,
No.
it's okay.
Yeah, let's talk more about it.
Sure.
I don't think I've ever spoken to someone that had a formal intervention. What did that, if you're comfortable sharing, what was that like? Was it they were in your house waiting for you? Like, what happened?
So it wasn't a formal intervention per se. There were some things that, you know, all of us have, you know, done things we're not proud of. And you know, these are friends of mine that I've had going back 15, 20 years with some of them at this point. And I was working a job remote at the time. I got a FaceTime in the middle of the day, and it was a group FaceTime. I was shocked because all my friends are, they're working as well. It's the middle of the work week, you know? So I knew something was going on. Like, it was not normal. And they were like, look, we know, like, we're here to support you. We need you to listen. And it was the best thing to ever happen to me. You know, it gets me emotional because I've got friends, you know, two supportive parents and my sister who are, you know, really rooting for me. And yeah, if it weren't for that intervention, it would have been, you know, I don't know if I would have stopped. I probably wouldn't have, to be honest with you.
A lot of times people will say that their loved ones didn't know about their gambling. Were you pretty open with them throughout the entirety of the issue?
I was not open with them by any means, but it's funny. And I don't know if you're this way either, Rob, but I was really overly honest for a long time in my life before my gambling got out of control. So when things started to, you know, take a turn and I really couldn't or didn't want to stop. You know, the people around you, they know when something's up. They may not know exactly, but they know something's going on. They knew that there was something, and you know, they knew that I was gambling. You know, they had gotten a couple of pieces of mail that were a little, you know, like, why is this in the mail? This doesn't make sense. And when I didn't beat them home to the mailman, I would try and make up an excuse type of thing. So towards the end they knew, but for a while they did not know. As far as I'm, you know, aware, they knew I would gamble here or there, but they didn't know the extent of it for a long time.
Sure. So I guess one thing that can be drawn out of that is that if you're watching this right now and you're not someone that's struggling with gambling, but you might be a loved one of someone that is, this is an effective way of helping someone find support, is letting them know that you're there for them and you care about them.
Like, I have a much better relationship with my parents now, but I did not want to hear about it from them. So when it came from my friends, it was much more real and much more like, all right, if they're saying this, then like, I need help. So I think it's important to the audience that you're going to. You're not going to somebody in a place of this is the best time in their life. You know, you want to make sure that you're giving them a group of people that they'll listen to, but also that you're going to be able to get the message across to.
So your friends and family come to you and they tell you that they're concerned. That motivates you to go and seek out a support group meeting. And around, was this around the end of 2021 now?
Yeah, right around there. And yeah, it's interesting. There were weeks where I would either drive to that parking lot and not go in. Either I was too scared, I thought I was going to see someone I knew, or I just didn't want to go, or I would just go and do other things when I said I would be at a meeting. My first meeting, it was still in early 2022, but it wasn't until March 7th of 2022. An amazing experience, honestly, even though it's a mixed bag of emotions, but that's kind of where the next phase went, if you will.
Sure. And from that point until now, things have been going pretty well.
Overall, yeah. You know, I went back to the bet and relapsed on September 18th, 2022. So I had 6 months clean. And I was feeling really good. And I think this is another really important thing for people. We hear about it all the time that like if you stop gambling for like a short period of time or you feel like this like pink cloud and like it's this euphoria and unbelievable feeling. And it is, you know, don't get me wrong. But the first time I was going through it and hitting, you know, a month and 90 days and all that kind of stuff, it made me feel like it was never going to happen to me again, where I could go back to the bet. And that's just so far from the truth. There's so many who go, you know, so long without gambling, and then they'll go back under the right set of circumstances. So
What were
The
those
biggest,
circumstances for you? What sent you
yeah.
back after the 6 months?
A lot of the times I hear like, oh, I came into an unexpected amount of money and, I just thought of going to the casino. That wasn't the case for me. I have no idea what prompted me to do it. I woke up. I wasn't even like a FanDuel or DraftKings person. Like my sports bets and online stuff, if I wasn't at a casino, I would use like other accounts and stuff. And I just reached out to one of those people. And like before I knew it, I was like, well, here you go, you dummy. You went back. And it sucked. You let yourself down. But then all of your friends, your family, people around you who know are like, well, have you been gambling this whole time? What even is the truth? It's really a tough one to go through.
Do you think that, the days leading up to that event, that you were kind of going off track with your routine? Do you feel like you were skipping out on meetings, or was this really just like you woke up and boom, you're right back to it?
So I do think it was like a wake up. And I was going to gamble. But I also, the first 6 months that I was in GA, I went to one meeting a week. I didn't use any other resources out there. I didn't look into getting any sort of other anything, whether it be a therapist, a social worker, anything to help. It was just the one meeting that I had. And, looking back, that's obviously the mistake. Now I'm much more involved. I make sure I never, like, I'm always doing two meetings a week, whether it's like a Zoom phone in person. For me, it has to be that, reaching out to people, all the other things. So, but I think with that relapse, it wasn't like a change in schedule. I just, for some reason, woke up and was like, it's going to happen. It's what I needed to know, because now that is the perfect proof that it does not matter how long you have. Like, you can wake up one day, say, you know what, I'm going to gamble, which it's tough to know, but it's just how we are, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's kind of a dual-edged sword, right? Like, it sucks knowing that at any point, if you're not keeping up your routine, you're not sticking to your plan, that things can go wrong. But it also is that extra motivation to keep doing what is working, knowing that things can go wrong if you stop. It's like it's within our control to a certain extent, but if we allow ourselves to get a little lazy with it, we take too much time off, too much time not going to meetings, too much time not talking about it, then it can sneak up on you. So a lot of people will ask me something like, when are you recovered? At what point are you cured? There's a point at which I'm sure that you can now probably say pretty comfortably the urges are not biting at you every single day and things are pretty good, but to think that we could just, ignore it for the rest of our lives and never have a problem again. It's what do you think? It's probably a little bit ridiculous.
It's not biting at me every single day. There are definitely still days that are tough. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to gamble or anything like that. But I think a big part that has made it better is focusing on being able to communicate that to the people around me, so they know that, like, okay, I'm not just going to go off and, say I'm going somewhere, but really I'm going to the casino. I'm allowed to have a bad day without that being the case. So it is tough. I do agree with you. It's not every single day now where I'm like white knuckling recovery, if you will.
Sure. I think a lot of people have it in their head, and you kind of called it like a pink cloud. It's like we think that if we're in recovery, like everything's going to be fine, but really we just went from being in a terrible position to being in the position of a normal person. And so now we're going to have bad days as well, and it's not going to be, rainbows every single day, but we have a chance to have good days now.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you just worded it perfectly. There is such a little chance for a good day when you're really in the throes of it, with every single thing that you have to do to keep up the facade of being an active gambler. That's why a lot of people around us didn't even know something was wrong, because when we're in it, like, we'll work hard to come up with a lie, even if it turns out everyone knows that something's going on. But it's a definite better chance at a good day, being in recovery, that's for
100%.
sure.
Now, before we dive into some of the questions and comments that we've gotten, I just want to remind everyone watching that my name's Rob and I'm a recovering gambling addict myself. Josh was nice enough to join me today and join to talk about his gambling problems. But if you're struggling with a gambling problem or you know anyone that is, tell them to come subscribe to this account because we have conversations like this as often as humanly possible. And we want you to know that you're not alone. That's something that Josh mentioned right in the beginning of today's episode. Knowing that you're not alone is why I do this. And Josh, I don't know about you in how you view step 12, but is that maybe the reason why you've gotten more involved in your meeting is because you wanted to give back?
Yeah, and it's not just mine. It started with that, and then it was like, okay, now I'm I don't know if you hear this in your meetings, but I was getting voluntold to do things. You start coming around more, and it absolutely is a huge part of my recovery, because it keeps me responsible to the meetings. It keeps me responsible to the people in the rooms, and I care about hearing them do well. And I say this all the time. There's two things about step 12 for me. One, it does not matter if you have a day or a century in Gamblers Anonymous, everybody can help someone else, because the new person's story tells the people with a ton of time what's still out there. And then the people with time can tell the new person what their life can be like if they stop gambling and put the shovel down. And then the second thing with step 12 is that it doesn't always have to be the biggest thing to volunteer to do. Like, even just texting someone good morning, you may have no clue how far that goes for that person, or reaching out and calling somebody. You may have no idea. It's not that you have to sign up to be every position in GA. Being of service is so many different things.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like we're always most qualified to help the person that we used to be. There's no qualification for your own experience. What you've been through can help someone else who's going through the exact same situation.
And for me, it was, I look back on March 7th of 2022. And I remember almost everybody in that room that was there. And I the way that I was helped with the circumstances that some of them were facing at the time, I have to pay it forward. And it's been incredibly great for me, because they're some of the most important relationships in my life now.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the guest was it was a man named Simon Sinek, and he was citing the 12-step program as like one very effective means for recovering from addiction, as we both agree. What he said was that step 12 was actually the most important step. And for those that don't know, step 12 is essentially help someone else that's going through the same situation as you. He said it was the most important cornerstone of friendship and recovery because by going outside of yourself, you're remembering what you where you were. What's a really simple way of saying this? It's like if you can explain something in very simple terms, it means you know it well. And if you are teaching someone what you're doing to stay clean from gambling, that means you know what you're doing and you have a good plan if you can explain that to someone else. And there's a lot of benefits to that. So I just wanted to add that in.
Yeah, that's such a great way to describe it. And it is a good point, because if you're able to describe it to someone else, it means that you're getting it and you're learning something from it.
Absolutely. Let's touch on a couple of the questions that came in. We touched on this during your story, but how about we dive a little bit deeper into it? So what was the
Sure.
game that you liked the most, and why do you think you liked it so much?
Yeah, so definitely blackjack. And I think to me, it just made the most sense. And obviously, none of the games are wired for, like I've already mentioned here in this chat, for you to win. But for me, it was like, there are times where, like, you'll go on a run and you'll be able to be up some money. Granted, there were times where like I could get up and walk away and have some money before things really took a turn. So that was nice. In a six deck shoe, it's not ever going to work in your favor. Even if you win a bunch in a row, it will turn. But I think to answer the big part of the question, I think the reason I liked it was the constant action. And then if you get a bunch in a row, it's like, oh, I'm up. Like, and if the whole table wins, then it's like even better. Like, we're tipping the dealer, like other people are drinking and stuff. And it just seems like this big party action atmosphere. Even forgetting the winning or the losing, that feeling before the dealer flipped the cards was some of the most magnifying feeling that I've had. And that won't go away. And that feeling of like knowing the dealer busted or you beat the dealer, for me, I mean, those three, that was the dopamine or the high, if you will.
Sure.
You know?
There's two things that you mentioned that I wanted to dive into.
Sure.
So you were saying the reason that you like it so much was because of the action. For those that are in the chat that don't know, there's essentially, according to what's called the pathways model, three different kinds of problem gambler. There's the action gambler, which is what we're talking about here. That's typically the card games, wanting the environment, wanting to control the result of the game, be involved in the result. There's the escape gambler, which is like the slot machine players that are just trying to have time on the machine. And then there's the antisocial gambler, which, off the top of my head, I'm losing the definition, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're most definitely talking about action gamblers. But another thing is that you said that the most exciting part for you was waiting to find out the result of the hand that you were playing. It's waiting for the dealer to turn that card. And there was a study, I don't know if you saw this one, it said that in the brain of a problem gambler, you actually feel more pleasure, more dopamine, excitement, finding out the result of your bet than you do winning the bet. Do you feel like that was the case for you?
I gotta say that makes a lot of sense. Which is really wild to think about, because it's you could have any amount of money on a hand and you feel a higher sense of the dopamine from realizing you beat the dealer than actually winning the money. That's crazy, but I do see the logic behind that, and I think it might be true for me, honestly. But again, like if there's someone who just stumbles across this who's not a compulsive gambler, they are going to think that that is the most crazy thing we've talked about today.
I agree.
They're gonna think like you're gonna have a higher high from winning $100, but exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. It
It
goes
is.
alongside, it's called the near miss effect, and that's something that happens with the slot machine players. It's like
Yeah.
if the reel lines up and it says like seven, seven, and then fruit, but you can see the bottom half of the number seven, so you almost
Yeah.
won. That triggers more pleasure in your brain than actually winning. So it makes your brain think, let me do that again. I gotta keep going. I gotta keep going. And it's designed into the machines intentionally to keep people playing longer.
That's like the roulette players, and I would play a little bit, like a very small amount, but those are like I would be sitting at a blackjack table right next to roulette, and there would be like six red in a row, and they'd be screaming, the next one has to be black, it has to be black.
Gambler's fallacy. It's very common, especially in problem gamblers.
Oh
But
yeah. Oh
no,
yeah.
totally. I saw this come in. This could be an interesting route to go. So, which is worse, a physical or psychological addiction? We don't have to get too far into the nuance with this, but I'll rephrase it for you. Did you ever struggle with anything else other than gambling? And if so, if even if you don't want to talk about it, which was more difficult to deal with?
Yeah, I never had another addiction, thankfully, and so far I don't. That being said, I am epileptic and struggled with that during, and I still do, but knock on wood, I haven't had a seizure in 7 years, but that was really complicating my, I was putting my health at risk for doing all the gambling that I was at all the different hours and all the things that go with gambling. So it was a lot more than just not a lot more, but it was different than an addiction, obviously, but I do know plenty, and I'm not sure if you've had any cross addicts on your channel, but the ones that I've met in rooms, I can't even tell you the amount of times I've heard people say that putting down a pill or putting down the drink was way easier than stopping gambling.
Yeah, no, I think that was a great answer. I've heard that many times as well. And what I'm always cautious is saying that, hey, I never had a substance use disorder either. So I can't say that one is worse than another. But I also consistently hear people saying that it's more difficult to give up gambling because it's the only addiction where you can convince yourself that doing more of it can fix all of the problems that it caused. I think you'd be hard pressed to find someone who's an alcoholic that would say that downing a fifth of Tito's will solve all the problems that they caused in their life, even if they enjoy it at the time that they do it, right? But in gambling, there's a lot of dissonance, we'll call it, between reality and the fantasy.
Oh, and that's so true because I mean, I'm sure both of us, how many times was it, if I hit this bet, I will never gamble again. If I win this hand or this bet, I'll walk out, have all the time. But you can't do that with a drug or an alcoholic beverage. It can't work that way. And you are 100% right. It's not one being worse than the other. They're just different, but you don't see it with ours.
Yeah.
We're walking around everybody like there's nothing wrong, and you would have no clue, not a clue in the
Absolutely.
world.
I saw one come in that I wanted to put up here, and I'll phrase it into a question for you. So the comment was, also with blackjack, if you learn it well, it makes you think you have the upper hand. When you were playing, did you feel like you were using a strategy, doing some kind of counting, or doing something that would allow you to win long term?
I'm very self-deprecating, Rob. I was way too dumb to count
Oh,
cards. I was way I'm serious, man, because when I went to Vegas, they had asked if I was counting, and I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm not counting. But of course they got to look and do their job and everything. But I don't count. I would play by the rules that everyone, technically should play by,
basic
but that's the
strategy.
thing. Yeah, basic strategy, but eventually you will give it back, even if it's a numbers game like that. So I would get mad though when people would play the wrong way at the table. But now, like looking back, it's like it didn't even matter if they played wrong or right, because even if I did win that big hand, I'm giving it right back at some point.
That's a big point that I like to drill in when I make content is that on any given day, and this is what a lot of the younger commenters rarely understand. They think, oh, he quit before he had a big win. Just like you, just like every other problem gambler, we had big wins. And the wins were significant. They felt great, but the problem is that no win is ever enough to satisfy the problem gambler. And so we keep going, expecting that we're going to find this jackpot that'll fix all our problems. And in reality, it's just that all wins become future losses.
Yes, they do. They really do, unfortunately. Whether in there's probably people in the comments or that are eventually going to watch this video or whatever, that think that it's not the case, which is sad, because everyone finds out eventually that it will all balance itself out or even become even worse.
I really just want to know, Josh, like, since you've been living this lifestyle now without gambling for almost 2 years now, do you feel like it's worth it?
Oh yeah. And I only took a pause answering that because when I think back to the end of 2021 and the summer of 2021, 2020, there are just so many things that I'm not proud of. I have to look back because I need to know, how I can improve myself. as a human being, you know, not related to gambling, but the person that I am now that I'm not gambling, it's made my life so much better. And like we both have said, you know, there's still going to be things that are bad. Am I still going to show characteristics of being a compulsive gambler? Yeah, it's just a lot less than what it was before. So I would say it's absolutely worth it. And it's not easy because if it was, then everyone would be doing it. But it is so worth it.
That's really awesome to hear. And it's really good for people who are on the fence of making the decision to stop gambling to hear something like that. Because when you hear that, hey, you have to go to a meeting every week, you can never do the thing that you love to do again, and you have to live your life like that, that doesn't sound all that appealing until you start to peel the onion back and see that by doing that, by making the sacrifice of giving up the few moments of pleasure, you get to avoid all of the moments of pain. And it's really important that people hear positive results for them to even make the decision to get themselves away from gambling. So, once again, just thank you for sharing.
I say this in my rooms too. Like, if I have something going on in my schedule where I definitely can't go, I go to a different room. How many crazy things did we do to gamble? You know, I've driven in snowstorms to go to casinos. It's insane to think about, but I've done it. There are so many lengths that I have went to gamble. I'll drive an extra 15 or 20 minutes each way if I can't go to my normal meeting. Because if I've only had 1 week since I've made my last bet where I didn't go to any meetings. I was in North Carolina on a family vacation. There wasn't a meeting 50 miles from me. But if I don't have one, I'm so off-wired. So I feel like you have to do it. So I just had to say that to what you had
Yeah.
said there.
Not totally. And one thing that I wanted to just reiterate before we kind of wind this down is before we got on the call today, you said you really wanted to express that more than just money is lost when you have a gambling addiction. And that's what I've been trying to get across through my content. And it's the reason I never talk about dollar amounts. It's the reason that I try to be as vague as possible is to let people know that you can absolutely ruin your life. Do you feel like in the time since you've stopped gambling, you've been able to rebuild a lot of the things that had been damaged as a result of the gambling?
Rebuild, yes. There's some things that I know will never be the same. That is tough to process. You know, whether it's trust with certain individuals, it can be rebuilt, but there's never a full trust, and there really shouldn't be with someone who's in recovery. There's always that part of us. I feel like I can be trusted with a lot of things, but when it comes with things that deal with money, I have proven that I'm not the person that should be handling things like that. So I'm really hopeful that things can be rebuilt. Yeah, the ones that aren't dollar and cents related, because that's the stuff that can be really hard to evaluate and do an inventory of.
Sure. One thing that comes to my mind when you say that is like one of the people that I view in like very high regard was Andrew Carnegie. And he built this massive steel empire in the United States here. And he really didn't have a strong educational background at all. What he would do is recognize when there were certain things that he wasn't that great at, and he'd find someone that was good at them and he would hire them onto his team. And so when it comes to recovery, you know, maybe if we're not at the point that we're comfortable handling the money, we still keep that in someone else's hands and it allows us to rebuild in other places in our lives. Why push something we're not comfortable with? You know, I think it's fine.
Right, and everyone has their system of doing all of that. You know, whatever works for you and the people around you, at least having somebody checking your finances. I say daily to people who ask me, like other younger guys and girls who I meet in rooms, at least in the beginning for me, that's what it was. You know, my parents still check it very frequently with me. It is way better for everybody to just, you know what's going on, know what's coming in, what's coming out, stuff like that, instead of, you know, blind sides and everything.
Yeah, transparency is key. We had a couple of other questions come in. I'll kind of just give you them real quickly. At this
Sure.
point, If you do have a temptation to bet, what do you do?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. And I do have temptations sometimes. Got at least, I don't even know how many numbers in GA in my phone, but I call people, I text people, multiple of each sometimes, to talk to someone who knows what you're going through and what you're feeling is something that it's invaluable, because as much as someone who may be in another 12-step program can relate to temptation, or a family member can relate to wanting to help you, a compulsive gambler is going to be the only person who knows that a bad day at work or a great day at work may drive you to the bet. And if you say that to someone else, they're going to be so confused as to why that would be the case for you. I contact GA members, I do things that make me happy, I get some sun, eat some protein, and usually that calms me down a bit.
Sure. Is there anything in particular that is a trigger to you?
I don't carry cash on me anymore. Once in a while, if it's like for a gift or something I know what I'm using it for, I'll have cash. But if I have some sort of cash on me for a period of time, I start to get anxious. And it's because of all of the times that, I was at ATMs or getting paid out at casinos or stuff like that. Just that picture of it gets to me. That's why, with me, for my financial stuff, I use a card if I need it. I don't carry cash.
Knowing how to manage your finances or your access to money helps you to avoid being triggered into a temptation.
I try to, yeah. And to be clear, I'm not, and it's, I think this goes without saying, I am not by any means the poster child for financial literacy or anything like that. So I'm still working on that. It's something that I really need to get better at. But I know that if I have cash on me and it's a substantial amount of money and I don't know what I'm doing with it right away, it's a problem. And that triggers me.
Sure. Well, it's good that you know that it's something to avoid. That's really all you need. It's knowledge comes over time, but avoiding the temptations helps you not take a step back.
Absolutely.
We had one other thing come in. We'll make this the last question before we wrap
Sure.
up. Have you worked on forgiving yourself for past mistakes related to gambling?
There are certain ones that I think as compulsive gamblers take with us for a long time, and sometimes even longer than we anticipated. But you work on it, for me at least. I work on it through my actions with those people. I've gotten over the stuff about what money I could have had from, working since I got out of college. I have let that go. When I first came into GA, I thought about it a lot. I've forgiven that, because if I think about it, it will send me down that rabbit hole and it's not good. But as far as past mistakes to other people, I know the people in my life, they care for me, they love me, they support me. But when it comes to like my wrongs that I made in gambling, they don't want to hear words anymore. They want to see the actions back it up and see that, okay, this is actually the case. This is a good progress and not just a bunch of, talk. So
Well,
it's
that was a
difficult.
much yeah, that was a much deeper question as the chat's reacting to you now. That was a much deeper question than you were probably prepped for today, knowing that it was me that you're going to talk to. But appreciate you taking the stab at that. And I really appreciate your honesty today with everything. It's been a great session, and I just want to thank you again for your time and your openness.
Rob, thank you. I mean, you really have done something special here, with your YouTube channel, your TikToks, and I think it's something that people are really going to seek out when it comes more and more. I mean, I don't know how it can be more prevalent than it is now, but more people will be seeking out content creators like you, and I think it's great because you're really great at this, and
Well, thank you.
I'm thrilled to chat with you. So
Thank you
this is
so
awesome.
much. I
Of
really
course.
appreciate it once again. And thank you to everyone in the chat for being here, for asking questions, engaging. liking the video and sharing it with anyone that you think could benefit from hearing it. Josh, once again, thank you so much. And to everyone, let's just keep getting better together one day at a time.